ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 68 टेक्स्ट 49-54। श्रीशुक उवाच एवं प्रबन्ने संविघ्ने वेपमानये निर्बला प्रसादितस्सु प्रसन्नो मा भैष्टेद्यभयं ददो। एवं प्रबन्ने संविघ्ने वेपमानये निर्बला प्रसादितस्सु प्रसन्नो मा भैष्टेद्यभयं ददो। श्रीशुक उवाच एवं प्रबन्ने संविघ्ने वेपमानय निर्बला प्रसादितस्सु प्रसन्नो मा भैष्टेद्यभयं ददो। एवं प्रबन्ने संविघ्ने वेपमानये निर्बला प्रसादितस्सु प्रसन्नो मा भैष्टेद्यभयं। मताजिस् श्रीशुक उवाच एवं प्रबन्ने संविघ्ने वेपमानये निर्बला प्रसादितस्सु प्रसन्नो श्रीशुक उवाच। शुकदेव गोस्वामी सेड एवं थस प्रबन्ने बाय दोस हु आर सरेंडरिंग संविघ्ने greatly distressed. Vepamana, shaking. Ayane, whose place of residence. Bala, Lord Balram. Prasaditaha, propitiated. Su, very. Prasanna, calm and gracious. Ma Bhaishta, do not be afraid. Iti, thus saying. Abhayam, relief from fear. Dadau, he gave. Translation. Sukadeva Goswami said, thus propitiated by the Kurus, whose city was trembling and who were surrendering to him in great distress, Lord Balaram became very calm and kindly disposed towards them. Do not be afraid, he said, and took away their fear. There is no purpose for this verse. We will continue the next verse. Text 50 to 51.
Duryodhana paribharham kunjaran shastihayanan dadau jadada shasta satani ayutani turangaman rathanam shat sahasrani rukmanam suryavarchasam dasinam nishkakati kandinam sahasram duhitravatsale.
Translation. Duryodhana, being very affectionate to his daughter, gave us her dowry, 1260-year-old elephants, 1,20,000 horses, 6,000 golden chariots shining like the sun, and 1,000 maid servants with jeweled lockets on their necks. Text 52.
Pradigrihyatu tatsarvam bhagavan sattvatarshabha sasutasa sunishoparyat sukhritbir abhinantita.
The Supreme Lord, chief of the Yadavas, accepted all these gifts and then departed with his son and daughter-in-law as his well-wishers bid him farewell. Text 53.
Tata pravishte supuram halayuta sametya bandhu nanurakta chetasa sasamsa sarvam yadupungavana madhye sabhayam kuru satcheshtitam.
Translation. Then the Lord Halayuta entered his city Dwaraka and met his relatives whose hearts were all bound to him in loving attachment. In the assembly hall, he reported to the Yadu leaders everything about his dealing with the Kurus.
Text 54. Adhyabiche puram hi etat suchaya drama vikramam samunnadam dikshinato gangaya manudrishyate.
Translation. Even today, the city of Hastinapura is visibly elevated on its southern side along the Ganges, thus showing the signs of Lord Balaram's prowess. Purport. Srila Prabhupada writes as follows. For the most part of it was the practice of the Kshatriya's kings to inaugurate some kind of fighting between the parties of the bride and bridegroom before the marriage. When Sambha forcibly took away Lakshmana, the elderly members of the Kuru dynasty were pleased to see that he was actually the suitable match for her. In order to see his personal strength, however, they fought with him, and without any respect for the regulations of fight, they all arrested him. When the Yadu dynasty decided to release Sambha from the confinement of the Kurus, Lord Balaram came personally to settle the matter, and as a powerful Kshatriya, he ordered them to free Sambha immediately. The Kauravas became superficially insulted by this order, so they challenged Lord Balaram's power. They simply wanted to see him exhibit his inconceivable strength. Thus, with great pleasure, they handed over their daughter to Sambha, and the whole matter was settled. Duryodhana, being affectionate towards his daughter Lakshmana, had her married to Sambha in great pomp. Balaram was very satisfied. After his great reception from the side of the Kurus, he, accompanied by the newly married couple, he started towards his capital city of Dwaraka. Lord Balaram triumphantly reached Dwaraka, where he met with many citizens who were all his devotees and friends. When they all assembled, Lord Balaram narrated the whole story of the marriage, and they were astonished to hear how Balaram had made the city of Hastinapura tremble. Thus end the purport of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 68th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Marriage of Sambha.
Om Ajnanatimirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam stabitam yena bhudale
स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्दिहं वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरुकनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमाओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे The blessings of the senior Vaishnava sitting here, I will try to speak some whatever realizations we get from this verse, especially Nartiya Mataji's blessings. So here in this chapter, the marriage of Samba, so we can see when this verse was given to me, I was thinking means what to speak. But when meditating on the verse, slowly came to know that means, you know, this is somewhat our position, like at least my personal position is also somewhat like the Kurus. When the Lord personally coming and, you know, ordering them to surrender, but they are not ready to do that. No, but they are ready to offer so many glories, you know, glorification and gift and everything. But when the point comes, he is asking something, then they are not ready to do it. So, thought of discussing that the surrendering aspect of the devotees, also the prowess of the Balram means. So, in one of the lectures, Maharaj mentions, you know, what is the Balram means. Who is Balram? Bala means the force, the strength. And the Balram means one who enjoys in exhibiting that prowess, that is Balram. So many times you might have came across the verse from the Kathopanishad that no, Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyo Na Medhayana Prunena Shrutena Va. Like, we cannot understand the Lord just by, you know, explaining the verses, explaining the Shastra nicely, or by having our intellectual pursuits, you know, studying the Vedas, or even by hearing. It is only possible when it is been personally given by, you know, Lord chooses you to be one of the person to whom he wanted to reveal himself. Then only it is possible. So here we can see that in this incident also, even though Lord was personally present, the Kurus were, it was very difficult for them to understand, you know. So the point is that one should not try to understand the Lord or the Vedic statements or the Shastras by doing analysis, you know. Certainly, like in the materialistic people, that goes through everything by logic and reasoning. So sometimes even we try to understand Shastra by that, but there is nothing wrong in that, but it has to be confirming with the Guru, Sadhu and Shastra means. In that Parambara we have to do that. But if we try to with our own intellectual things, sometimes it may not be confirming to the conclusions of the Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, then it will be difficult to understand. So, coming back to Balram, so Balram is the expansion of, the first expansion of Krishna in a servitor mode. So if you see the Shastra, he is the only person who serves the Lord, means Krishna, in all the five rasas. Like, you know, like in Dasya, means Shantarasa, first is Shantarasa, like in all the Tadiyas, like the Mridanga, Kartal, even the Dham, he has spent in various forms to facilitate Krishna's pastimes and increase his pleasure. Like in Dasya, like Anandashesh, you know, he is providing his bed, you know, comfortable bed, like Dasya. And then in Sakya, like as Sakhas in Balram and other devotees, so he is giving pleasure to the Lord in that way. Then in Vatsalya, as an elder brother, you know, he is taking care of Krishna, and that is exhibiting his Valsalya Ras. And then finally in the Madhurya Ras, he is like, the Mananga Manjari is an expansion of Balaram. And there also he is contributing. So he may be the only unique personality we can come across where he is, you know, serving Krishna in all the five rasas. So here Balaramji, you know, studying the verse, I was thinking, like Balaramji is coming for a peace with the Kurus. Means when Ugrasen orders the Yadava armies, be prepared and we will go to decapture Samba. So Balaramji stopped everybody and told that I will try. He has full control. He is always favoring Kurus little. You know, he was little biased towards the Kurus. As he thought he can convince them and get the Samba and Lakshmana back. So, but somehow he couldn't succeed. That we will see. But if we take a comparison between, like in the earlier Yuga, he came as Lakshman. So during that time his mood was little different. So even for a slightest agitation, he would become very angry or very furious. You know, but of course the anger he exhibited by him was always spiritual. It has nothing to do with we cannot compare with our anger. Means it's completely material. So his anger was basically for the sake of serving Lord Ram. So especially we can see that when they were sent to exile, Raman, Sita and Lakshman. So when Bharat Maharaj comes back and he wanted to call Sri Ram back to Ayodhya. So when they were approaching the forest of Chitrakoot, so when the commotion seen by Ram, then he asked Lakshman, just see, find out what is this, you know, problem. Means why these birds, animals, and they are flying and running away, you know. So then when Lakshman climbs up a tree and looks, so he could see from far there is some army is coming. But then we closely observe it, he could see the flag. And he tells that, you know, this is nothing other than Bharata is coming with his army. So first thought comes in mind is, you know, he is coming to attack us and he wanted to have unrivaled kingdom. So then Lord Ramchandra corrects him. No, how can you think like that? Means it is not like that. He will be coming with a positive attitude. He wanted to call us back to Ayodhya. So here we can see that Lakshman was very aggressive in that mood. But again, coming to Balaram in the next Yuga, he was at least in the beginning, he was trying for a compromise. You know, he's coming to the we can negotiate with him. You know, he's coming down a step down here. And in when he comes as Lord Nityananda in Kali Yuga, he again comes down, you know, step downs, means considering the condition soul's nature. He was so compassionate. There was no agitation from his side. And when you study Jagaya Madhai's pastimes, here Gauranga Mahaprabhu took the Sudarshan Chakra to kill them. But then Nityananda Prabhu was appealing to them that, we are here for some different purpose. We have to be compassionate to them. So it is very difficult to understand the mood of Lord with our own eyes with our own perceptions. So basically we have to go through a proper acharya for understanding the mood. So means couple of months back I was reading the literature from my native place Malayalam. So in one of the poetry that the author is describing so many conflicting nature of the Lord. So he was saying that Gajendra, he was referring to Gajendra pastime. So the Gajendra, in the previous life he was a king, Indradumna, in the Pandya kingdom he was ruling that. So he was actually performing devotional service and doing, wonderful devotional service and ruling his kingdom also. Then one Agastya Muni comes, some small mistake happens, he curses him to become an elephant. And then everybody knows that as an elephant, when he was caught by the crocodile, almost for 1,000 years he has to fight with the crocodile. Then finally he calls out to the Lord and then Lord comes for rescuing him. But on the other side, then you can see that again the Khatwanga Maharaj is there. For him, when he was fighting with the demigods, as a benediction, he asked for means I want to take the shelter of the Supreme Lord. But they told her, we cannot give you that benediction. You can ask something else. Then he asked, how much time I have, you know, before death? Then they told, it is only one muhurta. So then he told me, immediately, you know, put me back to earth. So he came back, and by the time half the moment is already been went. But within the half moment, whatever is there, you know, Krishna has given him the ultimate benediction. He got the shelter of the Lord. So that the poet is exhibiting, like, you know, so sometimes even a devotee has to suffer, or apparently, you know, like you took almost thousands of years to give him benediction of your lotus feet. But here Katua Maharaj got within a matter of moment, just by surrendering he got it. Similarly, another aspect he was mentioning, that in your pastime as Lord Krishna, you took the position of a charioteer for Arjuna, you know, who was son of Indra, and you are even ready to broke your vows to protect him. But in the previous yuga, as Lord Ram, you killed, you know, means another son of Indra, Bali, you know, in a irreligious way, and hiding behind the bushes, he shot arrow and killed him. So it is very difficult to understand those things. And in Ramayana, when Sita was kidnapped by Ravan, so in one of the conversations, you know, Ramchandra is expressing to Lakshman, you know, Lakshman, even this cooling moon rays are becoming too hot for me in separation from Lord Sita. So he is exhibiting that separation there. It was becoming so hot for him. But the same Lord Ram, when he came as Krishna, so during the Raslila pastimes, you can see in the full moon time, he disappeared himself and the gopis were searching for him. You know, so this is the contrast of, you know, but if for a normal materialistic person, it will be difficult to understand how Lord behaves in such ways. Like that, even another example is given, like when Shurpanaka came in Ramayana, you know, with a lusty desire she approached, you know, they cut off her nose. But when Kubja approached in Krishna, she satisfied her. So we can't understand the Lord's, you know, how he behaves by our own intelligence. You know, you cannot put everything in a logical order, okay, now, you know, Lord is going to give me benediction. So we cannot come into that conclusions. So coming back to this point of Hastinapur, so we know that Lord Balaram as Anandashesh is carrying the entire world on his hoods, entire universe on his hood. For him to pluck the Hastinapur is nothing, actually. You know, it's like a mustard seed somebody has, I mean, a small kid can, is that much effort he just took to pluck. So basically, in a conditioned state, we need something like, you know, completely shake us. Then only we can, many of us, take to, you know, proper serious devotional service. So unless and until there is a shaking platform for us, so it is very difficult to accept the instructions of the Lord or his representatives. So even if the representatives or even the Lord himself comes, you know, many times, like in the pastimes of Balaram or even Krishna, then, you know, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Avajanandi ma mudha manushin tani maashritam. So when they comes in a different form, it is very difficult for a, you know, ordinary people to accept it, or even, you know, like, you know, foolish people deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendent nature as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is not the case with only the human beings, even demigods. Like Narakasur pastimes, if you study, can see that actually Indra approached Krishna in Dwaraka and, you know, requested him that my mother's kundal were stolen by Narakasur and Varunadeva sampralas were stolen by Narakasur. So requested his help to recover those things. So then Krishna went with Satyabhama and killed Narakasur and recovered all the items, and then went back to heaven to give him these items. But on the way back, Satyabhama saw the Parijata tree and he just decided, okay, we have one flower of it. So the Krishna will take the tree only. But Indra became very furious. You know, that is a short-tempered understanding of the, like, you know, especially in the Kali Yuga, we can see that even many instances we can correlate from our own side. It means somebody has done so much, even you don't need to see like it is a supreme personality, even as a grateful heart, he should have actually naturally given it. But he told, you needn't ask me. So he was ready for fighting with him. So such foolishness is the, like, you know, even the conditioned souls being conditioned because of our anarthas, many times we are not able to recognize those things. So just like Balram was, you know, pulling Hastinapur to Ganga, so we can see that in many pastimes of the Lord or in the spiritual masters, they have to physically pull the disciple, and actually they are already drowning. It's not that they are going into the Ganges. They are already drowning in the material ocean. Like one classic example we can recollect is from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, the Chota Haridas time, when they were going in the South Indian tour. So somehow he has been captured by the, Chota Haridas, it is Kala Krishnadas. So he has been captured by the Bhattaharis. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has to physically go and pull him out. So, and then another Narada Muni and Kailash story. So much time he was waiting, finally he has to tell, this cobra is, there is a cobra hiding, you have to kill him. So personally, the family whom that cobra, like the person was attached, the Kailash was attached, they have to personally kill him, then only he came to his senses. Similarly, you can see that even Prabhupada was taken so much pain to go to the West, considering the pitiable condition of the people. So he went to America and sacrificed so much. And he has to practically pull out the people from the hippie way of life. So for our own life also, we can see that, our guru and the guru's representative is giving us so much facility, so that tomorrow we can be, they are trying to pull out from this our own anarthas and the clutches of the Maya. But generally it is our own resistance that prevents us from coming out. So we are still attached to that. Like I remember, in the early, there was some cartoon, somebody is still fallen into the well and he is still trying to enjoy the honey dropping out from the tree hanging over to the well. Means he is just holding on some root or something, he is just about to fall, but still he wanted to enjoy it. That is our condition. So such people, very difficult to trust such people. Even though they may be speaking very nice verses, very nicely and sweet words with us, but when we are asking something, or something they see that something they have to sacrifice, they turn their stance. Like the example of Kamsa. Kamsa took the position of a charioteer for her sister, he apparently looked like a very loving brother. But the moment he heard the Ashariri Akashwani, that her eighth child will kill him, so he became very violent, not even ashamed to kill her in front of the public. So such people has to be very cautiously dealt with. So especially in Kali Yuga, we have many instances like that. People will be speaking very nicely and very sweet words with us, but the moment they sense us that we are asking them something from their side, so then they change their stance. So something here in the Kauravas assembly, even though they know that Balram was Supreme Personality of Godhead, many of them aware, but still it was difficult for them to accept it. The first response comes is always no. If you go further in Mahabharata, we can see that it is not that was the first and last time they had to deal with that. But during the, just before the Mahabharata war, when Krishna was going as a messenger, again they made the same mistake. Duryodhana was not able to understand who is Krishna. So if you go through that pastime, we can see that, even when Krishna started his journey from Dwaraka, when he was approaching Hastinapur, so many bad omens were seen in the Hastinapur. The sky became dark, the jackals were howling, and the trees were uprooting, and so much wind and everything. So many bad omens have been seen. So generally those days people is able to understand by seeing the bad omen something unfortunate thing is going to happen. So Dhritarashtra called the assembly to, they came to know already that Krishna is coming, then how to facilitate Krishna. So he wanted to give, you know, their understanding was if he give them proper opulence and good welcoming, he will be pleased with us. So then Vidura says that no, you don't think that by, you know, giving him gift and wealth, all those things, you can attract Krishna. Unless and until he fulfills his desire, he is not going to budge even from his determination, you know, for whatever purpose he is coming. So, but Duryodhana couldn't take all these instructions. He was telling, but he agreed with Vidura on one aspect. Well, like, you know, it is true that we cannot please Krishna with providing him wealth or any other opulent things. But his understanding was different. He felt that he will see this as a weakness from our side. You know, better don't provide him anything, and better when he comes, we'll capture him. So Bhishma was also sitting there. He became very furious. Means how, you know, ridiculous this person is. He can't even understand it. Then they are left. Many of the senior devotees left the assembly. The next day when Krishna actually arrived, so all the senior Kurus went to welcome him, you know, receive him. And then Krishna directly went to Dhritarashtra. And then he informed him, I already came. And Dhritarashtra offered him a nice seat and, you know, sweet words and everything. Then Krishna went to Vidura's house. There he met Vidura, spoke with him in detail. And then there Kunti Maharani was also there. Means for last almost like 13, 14 years she was there. She was not aware of the whereabout of her children. So she was very curious to know about that. She was explaining all those things. Then Vidura actually warned Krishna, you know, actually you should not go for this message, messenger purpose, means there is no point actually. You know, Krishna means basically Duryodhana is not ready for any good advice. He cannot be rectified by any means. Rather, if you go, they will insult you. So then Krishna told, no, anyway, you know, he quoted that, you know, even if a virtuous things we try to do it, even it is not, success is not guaranteed, even that endeavor itself will give us that the fruit of that success. Anyway, I am going there, you don't have to worry about that. Then he went to Duryodhana to meet him, like, you know, Duryodhana was in his own palace. So there he offered a golden asana and, you know, with the silk and everything. And he worshipped his lotus feet, you know, path puja and everything he done with all the ritualistic form, and even gifted him a cow as a tradition. So you can see the nature, you know, means externally looks like very sattvic person. But then Krishna could understand his inner motives. Then Duryodhana extended Krishna that, you know, you can dine with us and you can stay with Dushyasana's palace. You know, which is even greater than, opulent than my own palace. But Krishna rejected that, you know, directly there itself he told that only those messengers who have gained their objective should accept the hospitality offered by who received the message. You know? And otherwise he told that only you can accept food from somebody if you have a loving relationship with him or you are in a distressed condition. See, in our case, you are neither loving me nor I am in a distressed condition. So why should I accept your food? If he rejected that, then he went to Vidura's house and took the whatever he offered, whatever little bit, you know, simple offerings, he accepted it. So then next day when, in actual assembly, when Krishna came, Dhritarashtra told, you please speak. So Krishna explained his objective, why he came all the way from Dwaraka, that at least it is reasonable that you should give them at least 5 villages. You know? Krishna spoke in detail, you know, what are the problems, like, you know, Pandavas, how they are ready to compromise. Even if you give 5 villages, they are happy with that. They should compromise. So during the assembly, there were many sages and great personalities were also there. So one of them was Lord Parashuram. Then Parashuram, when Krishna sat, finished his speak, then Parashuram got up and started to speak. He explained a story of one king known as Dambodbhava. So he was very powerful king, and somebody told him that you are not a challenged Naranara and Rishi. They are doing some tapasya. They are more powerful than you, like anybody like Kartik, Virarjun and these demons. So he was also puffed up with his, you know, very arrogant and envious because of having so much of power. So he straight away went to Naranara and Rishi to challenge them. They were doing their tapasya. So then Nara told him, okay, you get all your soldiers at once, then we will fight. So when they collected everybody together, Nara picked up some grass and imbued it with his mystic power, and then just throw the grass into the army. So the grass became, because of the power of the mantras, it became like a razor sharp shafts, steel shafts. It started slicing of all the armies. Then finally, Dambodha came to his senses and begged forgiveness. This is the story Parashuram told in the assembly and told. See, now the Nara can do such wonderful acts. Even Narayana can do much more excellent activities without much exertion. And both Nara and Narayana is present in the form of Arjuna and Krishna. And who can beat them? And you cannot find any means to check them when they come for fighting. So better you compromise it. And then Kanva Rishi spoke. You know, one should not consider one physical strength as the supreme and the ultimate. You know, and real strength lies in the virtues. And he explained that Pandavas are always virtuous in his deeds, and throughout their life they were protectors of the dharma. And you are always abused dharma, so you don't expect any victory in the war. So you will be always be, you can expect defeat only. Better to compromise, that is better for you. But Duryodhana couldn't take up all those instructions. He was breathing heavily, hissing like a snake. He told that, the statement is something similar many times we also come across. He says that, I am whatever God has made me. Like basically I am like this. And who created me and who decides my fate? Means basically God has created me and he will take my fate. And I will do exactly what he has determined, and then nothing else. So basically he is saying that whatever I want to do, I will do it, and there is no point in having the discussions or anything. Means you either accept me as it is, what I am. So Narada Muni was also present there. He spoke, he spoke something similar to Parashuram only, and then he told that this obstinacy will only lead to ruination. So better you give up this obstinacy and try to compromise with the Pandavas. So finally Dhritarashtra spoke. By hearing that all these instructions, nothing is making effect on Duryodhana, he spoke to Krishna that if you can change my son, I will consider that at least you executed your duty as a friend. So Krishna even accepted that, and he started instructing Duryodhana in a friendly way. Means, but Arjuna, Krishna could see the body language of Duryodhana. He was becoming so impatient Then Krishna started speaking in terms of what are the outcomes, possible outcomes of the war. He started speaking who can check Bhima in the war, or who can check Arjuna when they are with the Gandiva. But nothing could convince Duryodhana about these things. So Duryodhana was becoming more and more impatient, but finally Dhritarashtra himself spoke to Duryodhana, why don't you compromise with Pandavas? So that was ultimate for Duryodhana. So he felt that everybody is accusing me alone only. What I have done means, he started to playing the role of an innocent, become a victim play, means what I have done wrong is my father's kingdom, I am taking care of it. What is wrong in that? See, ultimately he says that, oh Keshav, this is my replay. This is my final replay. As long as I rule this kingdom on my father's behalf, I will not give the Pandavas even that much land which can be pierced by the point of a needle. So, means it was clear that Duryodhana don't want to compromise even after by instruction of the so many senior or elderly people. Then Krishna even tried to explain that whatever you are speaking of innocence and all can be refuted. He actually refuted. Now, even this came to the stage that even Dushasan was convinced. Then he tried to convince Duryodhana that why don't you compromise with them? No? So many people are saying it makes sense. Why don't we compromise? Both of us can enjoy actually. So nothing. And even Gandhari was being called in. She also tried to convince Duryodhana about this. But Duryodhana was so obstinate that he couldn't accept anybody's instruction. So just like we heard, Vinashakale Vipreeta Buddhi means. When there is so many instructions, so many elders or well-wishers are considering for our well-being, they give instructions. So sometimes, because of our anarthas, it is very difficult to accept those things. Finally, Duryodhana decided that he will capture. That is a shortcut method he found out. We capture Krishna, then there is no question of Pandavas coming for fight. Because he felt that because of Krishna, Pandavas are coming for fight. Then Krishna has to show the universal form and that everything. So the conclusion is that even after that, even seeing the universal form where Krishna exhibited that all the Kauravas are going into his mouth, they are dying, still he was not convinced. He was ready for fighting. So that is, that is the nature of deep-rooted envy towards Krishna. So why I narrated this story was many times we can also see that in our own life, many times good instruction is being given by our well-wishers, but somehow we are 100% convinced that we are right. Recently, we are discussing with Shyamananda Guru, so he was mentioning that the many times, the basic problem is that we identify ourselves with certain success criteria. From the materialistic perspective, we identify, okay, this is, if I achieve this, this is my success. Anything else is failure. But in spiritual terms, it is not like that. See, he was saying that many times the problem is I am right and you are wrong. That even that, and the 20% weightage is I am right, but 80% weightage is given to that you are wrong. Nobody is able to understand me. It's very hardly we put any effective stance to understand the other's position when we are having some issues like that. So no, this is not only with Duryodhana. We can see that even if you take the history, even Ravana's case, Vibhishan and his own brother Kumbhakarna, he was also a demon. Kumbhakarna, Marichi, they all advised. Even Mandodari advised. What is the problem? So many queens are there with you. Why don't you sacrifice one? But then that point comes in our life that it is very difficult to accept that thing. Then that is that ridge point, you can say that. Means you have to execute your free will at that point very effectively. Otherwise, once you fall down, it is very difficult to come back. So from the Shastra, we can see that, those who are accepted thus, from the Bhagavatam especially, we can see that those devotees, those who have accepted such instructions, and ultimately they got the success. Now, even though apparently you may say that it may be a failure from the material point of view, but finally, from spiritual point of view, they got the success of their life. Now, one example we can see is Dhruva Maharaj. When Maitreya Muni was narrating the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, when he was concluding, He was mentioning that despite having achieved the desired result of his determination by worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord, Dhruva Maharaj was not very pleased. Thus he returned to his home. So Vidura was hearing very attentively. Then he suddenly catched the word, he was not very pleased. So he got confused. Means he got the darshan of the Lord and Lord guaranteed that you will come back to my abode after this tenure of your life. Why you mentioned that he was not very pleased? Then further he explains that, Dhruva Maharaj was contemplating after Lord disappeared from his vision, that actually what I have achieved, So Narada Muni in the beginning only instructed me that one should try to keep himself satisfied in any condition of life, whether distress or happiness, which is offered by the Supreme Will. A person who endures in this way is able to cross over the darkness of nescience very easily. This is one of the instructions just when Dhruva Maharaj was coming to the forest as a child, when he met Narada Muni on the way. This was one of the first instructions he spoke. But then Dhruva Maharaj told, see, I am born in a Kshatriya family and it's very difficult for me to accept whatever you are saying. Right now, I want to take like, you know, the revenge of, you know, whatever has happened. So you tell me, if you can help me in this regard, you please help me. But then Narada Muni anyway instructed him. Now here the disciple asking or telling, okay, I want to do anyway this only, but if you can help me, you can help me in that way. So Guru was merciful, he instructed him what to do. He given him this, the mantra and everything. So afterwards then Dhruva Maharaj was contemplating, he was feeling very, you know, dissatisfied. He was telling, because the demigods were very envious of me, they felt that so easily I will achieve my destination. So they wanted to put some stumbling block, that's why they made me to speak like that. So we can understand from here that then he himself says, since all the demigods who are situated in the higher planetary system will have to come down again, they are all envious of my being elevated to the Vaikuntha Loka by devotional service. These intolerant demigods have dissipated my intelligence, and only for this reason could I not accept the genuine benediction of the instructions of sage Narada. So because they confused my intellectual, because of that I couldn't accept in first hand itself that, you know, my guru's instruction seriously. Then I have to go through all this tapasya and everything. So here we can, like, you know, he even though he had some other opinion, but he still accepted guru's instructions finally. So in the same fourth canto we can see that another is Prithu Maharaj's incident. You know, when Indra was stealing the sacrificial horse. So first time it happened, the second time again it happened. So Prithu Maharaj was about to kill Indra. Then Lord Balrama has to, Brahma has to intervene in that. So then Brahmaji says that, Masmin Maharaja Kritasma Chinda Nishamayasmat Vacha Adritatma Yadhayado Deva Hitamna Kartum Manotrishtam Vishadetamonda. He explains these nice words. Like, no? My dear king, do not be agitated and anxious because your sacrifice have not been properly executed due to providential impediment. Kindly take my words with great respect. We should always remember that if something happens by providential arrangement, we should not be very sorry. The more we try to rectify such reversals, the more we enter into the darkest region of materialistic thoughts. So here Brahmaji is telling Prithu Maharaj that if something you tried once, the second time again it is happening the same thing. So don't try to rectify such reversals in your life. Sometimes you have to accept something like, you know, it's a problem, it's the will of the Lord. And you have to accept those things. You know, rather than always trying to rectify ourselves. So here, if you see from a materialistic point of view, this what the success means, you know, you can imagine you, like, you know, like if you're in one of the exams, you have 100 marks, you just got 99, and you are last, that one mark is also, you are sure it is correct. But somehow the teacher, or maybe due to some reason, we are not getting. We will try to, our full strength to convince the teacher to get that one mark, because we need 100 out of 100. But here, Prithu Maharaj accept that even 99 is, he was saying, okay, if Brahmaji is saying, I will accept, because he is superior to me, I accepted whatever he says. Even though, you know, it's only one sacrifice, you know, comparing. But we can see that, ultimately, Prithu Maharaj got the success. And we can see how Indra was again and again making the same mistakes. So again, continuing that, in the fifth canto, it starts with Priyavrata Maharaj. Again, there also, Brahmaji has to intervene. You know, Narada Muni instructed Priyavrata Maharaj that, you know, this devotion service is the only thing you have to do in the life. It's the ultimate thing. So he was convinced about that. Then Swayambhu Manu wanted to transfer the rulership of the kingdom to somebody. Not seeing anyone qualified than Priyavrata Maharaj, he was requesting him. He was not ready to accept it, even his father's. But when Brahmaji intervened, he accepted without any resistance. So when you study the past times, we can see that even though Priyavrata Maharaj apparently enjoying the life in between that ruling, when he was ruling the kingdom, then towards end of his life, he got suddenly again reawakened his spiritual connection. So he could timely retire from his life and perfect his life in the same lifetime. So this is the benediction of, if you follow the instructions properly, and you take it seriously and execute it, the success is guaranteed. So otherwise we will get attached to our materialistic way of defining the success. Now we don't know the ultimate success, you may lose it. And it's something like prayas and srayas, you know. Now the srayas is something which you, you know, the ultimate goal keeping in mind, you act only that. But prayers is only for the momentarily. Now what I can enjoy? You know? So another example we can quote is of Beli Maharaj. So even though his guru was telling him not to do it, but when Lord came and asked for 3 steps of land, even fully knowing that he is going to take away my all opulences and all enjoyment, but he, without any resistance, with full conviction, he surrendered to the Lord. And so he is glorified in the Bhagavadam like anything. It's like one of the Mahajans. And when you again look at the pastimes, you can see that ultimately Lord personally came to protect him. You know, he became Sudarshan became his doorkeeper. And he got the Sutal Lok, which is more opulent than the heavenly planets. Even with demigods don't have that much opulence. So, but you can see these are the threshold points where we take the wrong or right decisions. You know, Maharaj many times say that in our mind there is the good dog and the bad dog. So whom we feed on, and they will speak more loudly, and we will be only able to hear their voice. But if we are somehow with the association of the devotees, if we can train up the good dog in our mind, so we will be always be saved. So in this connection, I was remembering, once Krishna Abhishek Prabhu was giving one lecture. So he was mentioning that it is always very easy to, obey the rules and regulations given in the Shastras. Means it is very easy to follow the words of the Shastras. But when it comes to the will of the Guru, it's very difficult. Verily, Guru is personally present as a person. When he corrects, many of the devotees maybe who are dealing with Maharaj, some projects, especially in farm. Many devotees have this experience, Here we can see that in the initial days, everyone was very eager when Maharaj comes, be around him, be behind him. But now in farm, when Maharaj comes, unless and until called, devotees don't go there. Because they know that some instruction is going to come, are we prepared to take it? Whether you like it or not, but finally it is the instructions, we have to follow it. So that shows our actual nature. So it is difficult to take up the will of the spiritual master or his representatives. And it is very tough. But he further says that it is more difficult, the most difficult is to surrender to the whims of the Lord. So ultimately in the life, many times it happens, some providential thing happens to us. And it is very difficult to surrender to that. Because in front of the deities, it's very easy to stand and pray, but because he doesn't communicate anything back to us but he do communicate, but that times, it's very difficult to understand he is speaking to us, to take up that instructions. So basically, he was telling this is the WWW for us, otherwise we are into the other .nets. So this is the actual net we have to capture, the words of the Shastras, will of the Guru, and the whims of the Lord. So when we able to surrender to this, then we can also make our life successful. So when we are, actually I was preparing the class, I was thinking this is very very similar to my own condition, that many times such incidents happens in our day-to-day life, that many times we are obstinate. So initially, even still I am like that only. If somebody comes requesting something, the first reply will be majority of the time no only. And very difficult to surrender to even if it is whether senior, junior or anybody. And for us, don't have that compassionate nature, let me hear what the other person has to say. And we are stubborn on our own decisions many times. So I request all the devotees prayers that I can also overcome that nature and serve all the devotees in whatever way is possible. Thank you very much. Any comments or questions? Shantiras as Todiya, the Todiya, the instruments and all those things, the Dham and everything, he expands himself. Garandaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Question? You can ask, we can discuss it. It's already 9:15. Time is over.